Father, we come before you again to thank you for another opportunity to gather in your name, to sit at your feet, Lord, and have you speak to us, God. And Father, I do pray that you would bless our time. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us mightily. And Lord, as Patrick prayed this morning, God, it all comes down to people seeing who we are in you. And with the title of the message today, Be Imitators of God, in Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 6, God, help us to understand what your word is declaring to us. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this time into your hands. We don't know how much longer we have on this earth, but you do. And we know that, biblically speaking, our time is very short. It's very short. Here we are. In something the church has talked about, prayed about for 2,000 years. And here we are at the precipice. So Lord, bless our time in Ephesians 5 here. For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So here in chapter 5, Paul's encouraging the believers to imitate God and to walk in such a way others will see they are God's children. He gives three facts with a challenge, and these are going to be my 3 points. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, therefore we are to walk in love. 1 John 1, verse 5 says, God is light, therefore we are to walk as children of light. 1 John 5, 6 says, God is truth, therefore we are to walk in wisdom. So we're going to look at the first 6 verses here. So let's go ahead and read them. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So the first point I want to look at, we are to walk in love. Paul mentions that in verses 1 and 2. He tells the believers to walk in such a way that their daily life is characterized by love. What a novel idea, huh? As born-again believers. Growing in love is something every believer needs to do, because love fulfills all of God's law. Love fulfills all of God's law. Well, where do you get that, Rick? Well, Paul writing to the church in Rome said in Romans 3, 13, verses 8 to 10, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Now remember, this is coming from Paul, who was Saul the Pharisee. Saul, the rabbi, who taught the Jewish people the Old Testament. So if anybody knew about fulfilling the law, it was the Apostle Paul. He says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. Most of you listening know this scripture in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Those two commandments out of the 10 hang all the law and the prophets. So Paul gave several reasons why the Christian should walk in love. First of all, you are God's child. You know, people have said, you've heard me say this before, well, we're all God's children. Wrong. We are not all God's children. We are all God's creation. The only way to become a son or a daughter is to be a born-again believer. Of course, John chapter 3, Nick at night, good old Nicodemus. When Paul told the believers to walk in love, you know what? He wasn't asking them to do something they didn't know. The fact is, we have received a new nature. Well, guess what? That new nature wants to express itself in love. The old nature is basically selfish. You and I know that. It wants to promote itself and bring division. Well, this new nature is a loving nature. It tries to help others. It tries to bring unity. Secondly, as God's child, you are very dear to Him. Do you know that God the Father loves us as He loves His own Son, Jesus? Did you know that? Same love. Jesus said in John 17:23, in that great chapter, His priestly prayer, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, this goes back to Pat's prayer this morning, and the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You see, because we are born again into this loving relationship with the Father, it's just common sense. The result should be showing love to Him by the way we live and love others. Thirdly, you and I have been purchased with a great price. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. In other words, our love for Him is our response to His love for us. Let me say that again. Our love for Him is our response to His love for us. Paul compares Christ's sacrifice on the cross to the Old Testament sacrifices that were presented at the altar of the temple. You can read about that in Leviticus chapters 1 and 2. The idea behind this, that the sacrifice is well-pleasing to God. Now, this doesn't mean God is pleased that sin demands death and that His Son had to die to save lost sinners. Here's what it does mean. The death of Christ satisfies the holy law of God. Therefore, it is acceptable and pleasing to the Father. It's the only way you and I can have this perfect standing before God right now. It's the only way. The offerings, it's kind of interesting, are described in Leviticus chapters 1, 2, and 3. There you have the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering. Well, the burnt offering pictures Christ's complete devotion to God. Complete devotion. Secondly, the meal offering. That speaks of Christ's perfection of character. The peace offering speaks of Christ making peace between sinners and God. He's the link between us and God that chained us together and brought this peace. Paul begins with walk in love. Love is the main factor in the Christian life. You see, if we walk in love, here's the deal. We're not going to disobey God, and we're not going to hurt others. Romans 13:8. Paul said, and we read this, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves has fulfilled the law. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have this love living in us, this unconditional agape love. Secondly, second point, we are to walk as children of light. Since God is light, and since we are imitating our Father, hopefully, then we should walk in the light and have nothing to do with the darkness of sin. Nothing to do with the darkness of sin. Paul gives three descriptions of believers to prove his point. In verses 3-4, he says we are saints. Do you know you're a saint? Oh, Rick, I wouldn't call me a saint. You don't know what comes out of my mouth sometimes or what's in my mind and heart at times. God calls us saints. He doesn't see you. As a born-again believer, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul is saying because we are set apart as holy to God, we no longer belong to the world that is full of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood that fits in with reigning with Christ for 1,000 years as kings and priests, right? He said, you're a holy nation, his own special people. Do you know that the church, out of all the believers before the church was founded and after the church is raptured, do you know only the church is going to live in the New Jerusalem that will be suspended above the earth for all eternity? We are going to live in that New Jerusalem with God the Father and God the Son. Oh man, guys, the best is yet to come. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The warning here is against the sexual sins that were prevalent in Paul's day. And man, big time prevalent in our day. These first two sins are only different expressions of the same basic weakness of our fallen nature. It's an uncontrolled appetite. An uncontrolled appetite. The fornicator and the covetous person, they each desire to satisfy the appetite by taking what doesn't belong to them. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, it's of the world. So the Apostle Paul is telling us, don't even let it be named among you. He warns us in verse 4 against sins of the tongue, which are really sins of the heart, right? Matthew 12:34, Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you hear a person speaking, what they're saying is coming out of their heart. That's what's in their heart. Someone has said two good indications of a person's character are what makes him laugh and what makes him weep. Two good indications of a person's character. Foolish talking doesn't mean innocent speech. It means senseless conversation that cheapens the person. It cheapens the person saying it. We read in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, notice, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Jesting. Jesting is a translation of a word meaning able to turn easily. I know people like that. Drop of a dime, man, they can turn easily. It's talking about a certain kind of person who can turn any statement into a coarse jest. Here's a story about a Christian woman who attended an anniversary dinner in honor of a friend, not knowing there would be a program of low comedy following the meal. The so-called comedian tried to entertain the crowd with coarse humor that degraded everything the Christian guest held to be sacred and honorable. At one point in the program, the comedian's throat became dry. Please bring me a glass of water, he called to a waiter. At that point, the Christian woman added, and bring a toothbrush and a bar of soap with it. Some of us need a bar of soap. Well, we know the bar of soap wouldn't do anything to cleanse this guy's mouth. But you know what? This lady made her point. You see, Christians who have God's word in their hearts, think about this, will always season their speech with salt. Salt in scripture is a preservative. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. The third description, or the second description of a believer, verses 5 and 6, we are kings. Kings and priests. The cool thing is when we trusted Christ, we entered into the kingdom of God. At that very moment, you and I literally started our eternity. John 3:3. It's what Jesus answered and said to Nick. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So when we became born again, we entered into the kingdom of God. We should also be waiting for the full revelation of his kingdom when he returns. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 5. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. That means when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Wait a minute. What'd you say, Rick? Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul makes it clear. People who deliberately and persistently live in sin will not share in God's kingdom. Galatians 5, verse 19 and 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, ouch, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice, he didn't say those who do these things, because we all do them, right? Come on, guys. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, the flesh is able to manufacture sin. Oh, I could do it in a heartbeat, man. It just really disturbs me. But it can never produce the righteousness of God. The flesh can't do it. God knew that. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. You know Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The list here in Galatians can be divided into three categories. You have the sensual sins. Adultery is illicit sex between married people. Fornication is the same sin among unmarried people. Uncleanness means just that, a filthiness of heart and mind that makes the person defiled. It's speaking of a person who sees dirt in everything. He sees dirt in everything. Titus 1:15, To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. Lewdness is an appetite that's always wanting, but it doesn't know any shame. I think most of us are familiar with drunkenness and revelries. Revelries in the scripture are speaking about orgies. Second category, the superstitious sins. Idolatry is putting things before God and people. We should worship God. We should love people. We should use things. But many times it's the other way around. We use people, we love self, and we worship things, leaving God completely out of the picture. Here's the bottom line, Matthew 4:10. Whatever you worship, that you will serve. You really have to search your own heart. If you are devoting more of yourself to your car, your house, or anything else than you do in serving Christ, you just might be in danger of idolatry. Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I hope those of you who are listening are seeing why we need to imitate God. Here's the other side, the flip side of not imitating God. The word sorcery comes from the Greek word pharmakia. It means the use of drugs. It's where we get our English word pharmacy, the word we use for drugstore. Magicians in Paul's days used drugs to bring about their evil effects. Well, we know sorcery is forbidden in the Bible. According to Deuteronomy 18, verses 9 to 22, also were the activities of the occult. The third category, the social sins. Hatred means enmity. It's the attitude of mind that defies and challenges others. It's an attitude that always leads to strife. Contentions means jealousies or rivalries. You see it all the time among Christians, at least I do. They're always competing with one another. They try to make one look bad in the eyes of others. Wrath means outburst of anger. Man, I was so bad at this. I was so bad. In a heartbeat, I could do severe damage. In a heartbeat. Selfish ambitions carry with it the idea of self-seeking, which will always create divisions in the church. Dissensions and heresies are similar terms. Dissensions mean division. Heresies are cliques caused by a party spirit. These result from church leaders promoting themselves and insisting that people follow them and not the Lord. Envy could mean the carrying of grudges. It's a deep desire for what another has. Proverbs 14:30 tells us, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. Murders and drunkenness speak for themselves. The point I want to make, Paul is saying those who practice these sins will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I want to be clear, these warnings aren't speaking of the occasional act of sin. It's the habitual practice of sin. It's like I said earlier. There are believers who may have a false assurance of salvation that's not based on God's word. Well, the fact is, you and I as believers, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? We are not under the law. We are under grace. But it's no excuse for sin. Paul said in Romans 6:15, shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Paul was dealing with false Christians who were saying believers could live in sin and get away with it. Their excuse? They were saved by grace. We need to be very careful because that grace and that mercy is very precious for us. Paul's answer to that was given in Romans chapter 6. He says sin in the life of a believer is different from sin in the life of a non-believer. A non-believer's sin has taken them to hell. Sin in a believer is under the blood of Christ, but we can't practice that sin. We do sin, but we're not to practice sin. So there's a difference between the two. I want to finish with saying this. A Christian is not sinless, but his aim should be to sin less. Imitators of God. Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for your word. This one was power-packed, Lord. It was a punch to the gut because we all fall short in these areas. Every one of us. We can't point the finger at anyone else. Help us to be imitators of you, Father. Our desire is to be more like you, to be more like Jesus, especially in this world that is at war. It's good versus bad. It's a spiritual war, and it's going to come to a head soon. And we, Father, I just thank you that we will be out of here. The church will be out of here before it does come to a head. But for those who are still here, let them see the love we have for you radiating from our lives to them, Lord, that they will want what we have and that they too will become a born-again believer and part of your family, Father, part of our family. We love you, Lord. We ask now you go before us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.